You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, February 29. A great day for a do-over, huh? But will you even get up out of bed? Dr. Kyra will show you how to make a difference in your life. Plus, a wealth management expert will talk about how to invest in a wild market. And boy, is it lately. We're just ahead of Oscar Sunday, and thus we have an extra large segment with Manny the Movie Guy, in which he will help you win your office Oscar pool. Joining me in the studio is a man who wishes he could work out in zero gravity. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, people are outraged that NASA spent not $70 million, but $70,000 on this.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, we thank you for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You help the show when you're doing that, because when the folks at iTunes are not ping-ponging around their office in zero gravity, they read your comments, they notice your five-star reviews, and they might even feature this here program. Which, by the way, thank you for propelling this show into astronomical listenership and download areas. I mean, we continue to watch a hockey stick in the download chart for this show, and it's just incredible. And we thank you for doing that.
It's impressive. It's becoming huge.
Huge.
Every month, thank all of you.
Every month sets a record for at least the last 3 months, and prior to that, it was already on an upswing. So thanks for that. Just impressive. You are. And so what do you say we get the show started, and we will head over to NASA, where they're just spending how much money on what?
Well, they're spending $70,000. Let me give you a little bit of warm-up here. You know, Phil, astronauts are really the elite humans of our planet who choose to go out into space, explore the cosmos on our behalf so they can bring back new and interesting information for us to digest. But at the end of the day, they're not really much different than you or I. You know, they're just normal people with possibly significantly higher levels of brain activity.
Yeah.
Now, national governments have funded a program that sent $70,000 worth of novelty items to the International Space Stations, where some of the best reside.
Novelty items?
Novelty items. These
what,
include,
like marital aids?
Well, I suppose novelty items are different for everybody, but in this case, I'll give you a few of the items. They sent up tuxedos, rugby balls, and even the gorilla costume.
Wait a minute. Now, now
kind of a full-blown gorilla costume.
I kind of understand why people are getting a little outraged about this.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of that? I mean, none of that smacks of scientific value.
Unless you consider the fact that for a scientific and creative mind to be at its best, it should also be having fun, having a little joy, you know, playing around.
I know what those are for. You know what? Everybody's seen this lately. All the big TV talk shows are going live and direct via Skype or whatever it is they're using to the space station, and they're talking to the astronauts there. Is it Mark Kelly or is it his brother?
Scott Kelly.
Scott Kelly.
Scott Kelly, yeah.
He goes on there and does magic tricks and all sorts of things. And sure, that's free publicity for NASA, and it kind of gets the whole nation and the world, for that matter, up and excited about what we're doing in space. And for $70,000, what's it cost to operate the space station for a minute?
Significantly more than $70,000, I would imagine. I don't have the numbers, but it's not a cheap endeavor to do that. And you're right, the popularity and the interest in what's going on in space is growing. People want to see it. And when you look inside the space station, I don't think you just want to see somebody with different color control panels behind them and things blinking in the background. You want to see them playing ping pong with a droplet of water and chasing each other around in gorilla costumes.
Sure,
you know?
Exactly.
Throwing rugby balls.
Yeah.
In zero gravity.
Right. And they've got to compete with movies like The Martian.
Yeah.
Right? Where they ping pong around inside their spaceship, right, in zero gravity. That was kind of, I like watching them when they're kind of traveling.
Yeah.
From one part of the station to the next.
So effortlessly, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I do want to say that there's been a couple of recent viral videos. If you're interested in seeing these gorilla costumes and tuxedos, you can find them online. And also, astronaut Scott Kelly, who we referred to earlier, just celebrated his 52nd birthday, which is one of the reasons why some of these novelty items were sent up, and this will be his final year in space. So NASA says, hey, friends and families got together. They put together some items. Uh-huh. We sent them up there. It does cost, they say, something like $10,000 per pound of items that you send to space. That's an average number.
All right. You follow science a little bit. You understand how things work. If we sent him a birthday cake, it was floating around there, in space or in the capsule where they're floating around in zero gravity, are they allowed to light candles? Can they have fire in there?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to guess that I wouldn't play around with that,
no,
personally.
Okay.
I don't know, though.
Blow out.
You need oxygen.
Blow out your candles.
I suppose as long as you have oxygen for the fire to feed off, that's fine. Although if you have too much oxygen, mm-hmm, then that fire will feed off the excess oxygen in the room and possibly burn everything around.
Right. Okay.
Well, I learned that from Deadpool, which I saw this weekend.
Ooh. All mm-hmm. right. Well, let's. By the way, the movie's doing real well at the box office. But and Manny the Movie Guy is coming up later in the program in the second hour, an extra large segment of
Looking
Manny.
Forward to it. I love Manny.
Yeah. But would you pay extra just to see this experiment, get 51 candles on a cake in zero gravity in the space station and light them up?
As long as it was safe. I'd want to see whatever information had to be gathered first to prove that nobody was going to die.
Yeah.
I'm not super morbid.
See,
this
would be a live feed, probably on Kimmel, right? And then they'd get the drum roll and start lighting the candles one at a time.
Yes. Okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah. And you know how Kimmel is, too. They'd probably lose the connection right when he starts blowing the
candles
out.
There'd be a flash first, and then the connection would get cut off.
Yeah, right.
Just see salt and pepper, ants running across the screen.
Yeah, all right. Well, good. That's 70 grand. I'm okay with that.
Sure.
I'm okay. They could spend 70 grand a week on stuff like that, and I don't mind because it's coming out of their multi-billion-dollar budget.
Yeah, they have a lot of money to spend, and you want to keep these guys happy. They can't be up there.
I agree.
All right. Boredom.
It's not like we're sending up bags of pot.
No. Although in the future, that might be a possibility because marijuana continues its massive resurgence around the world. The Australian Parliament has now passed a measure that will legalize medical marijuana across the entire continent of Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, progressive,
First continent to go fully medical pot.
I don't think so, because North America is a continent. And I think
we're not fully.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I don't think we are fully, huh?
No, because states' rights here, I mean, it goes state by state. We don't have a federal law.
Yeah, but aren't all 50 states legal for medical, just not recreational?
No. No. I mean, you can't have sex out of wedlock in a couple of states without breaking the law.
Right. But you can marry someone at 16 in some of these states.
True.
Yeah. You're right. It does.
That's the loophole in that other law.
And I thought Australia might be the same way, where based on different geographical features, the law might be different. But based on what I understand, it's legal across the entire state. The amendment allows for legal growth of medical and scientific marijuana. And citizens are reminded, however, that regulations for licensing still need to be put into place. So much like many of the states here, you got to get all the rules set up for people to get licensing to procure their medical marijuana. And recreational marijuana is still illegal. So be wary, Australians. This doesn't mean it's a free-for-all.
Yeah, but if it goes the way medical marijuana has gone here, you'll find a doctor to write you a prescription for a hangnail.
Over Skype.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I couldn't eat dinner tonight, Doc. Stomach was a little upset. Oh, I got something for you.
Yeah.
How about some California Kush?
There you go.
That'll help you get a meal in you.
Medicinal and recreational at the same time. All right, some interesting celebrity news that I'll cover for you. What did Cheryl Teagues, you know who she was, supermodel from the 70s, right? What did Cheryl Teagues say about plus-size models? That has people a little upset. And a new conspiracy theory. Okay. Remember, people were saying a long time, you know who Marilyn Manson is, right? People were saying that he was Eddie Munster from the Munsters, right? Wasn't that, there was that conspiracy theory for a while?
The beautiful people.
What? That one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a new conspiracy theory about Katy Perry.
All right.
Yeah.
You've piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan. Big fan of Katie.
Is she really somebody we thought died?
What?
and that she didn't really die.
Bum, bum, bum.
Those stories and more coming up in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Chris Martin is here with me, and Chris, we just want to clarify a little something about Scott Kelly's tenure in space at the space station, right?
That's right. Yeah, I mentioned that this was his final year in space, which is accurate, but this is also actually his final week in the International Space Station. So
they're sending an Uber up to get him?
Job well done, yeah. They're sending Jetson's Uber.
Yeah. Cheryl Teagues, she has been on the cover of Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue more than once, and I recall as a as an adolescent teenage boy, remembering the first series of swimsuit editions of Sports Illustrated was quite a delight. Let's put it that way.
One of those things you don't forget.
Yeah, yeah, just beautiful, absolutely uber beautiful people. Women, that is, in shockingly small, for the time, bathing suits.
Yeah. Now they don't even wear them. Now they paint them on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really come a long way, hasn't it?
Sure has.
From Cheryl Teagues to who? Hanny, what's her name? She's married Derek Jeter now. Hannah and her horse, that gal.
Oh, right. I can't remember her name right now.
She's been on the cover 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, they find some good ones.
Yeah. So anyway, where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so Cheryl, who's been on the cover more than once, you'd think she'd be gracious about the magazine giving a full-figured model Ashley Graham a cover this year.
Yeah, you would.
Well, she's not.
Hmm.
She says, quote, "I don't like that we're talking about full-figured women because it's glamorizing them and your waist should be smaller than 35 inches. That's what Dr. Oz said and I'm sticking to it. I don't think it's healthy. Her face is beautiful, beautiful, but I don't think it's healthy in the long run."
Okay, let's
Cheryl talking.
Dig in into the debate. Do you agree?
Well, you know what? It is what it is. If Sports Illustrated decides to put somebody who's full figured, okay, and we're going to say full figured, we're not going to say overweight. What are we going to say? Big boned? We're going to say hefty?
Like full figured.
We're going to say husky.
The first one you said was good. I like full figured.
All of these things sound pejorative in today's politically correct world, right?
But you have to use some sort of terminology to define it.
And certainly, Cheryl didn't come out and say fatty.
No. Not at all.
Right.
She actually used the word health as a descriptor.
But when you pick up after all these years of absolutely astonishingly flawless babes on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and when you pick up this year's magazine and tear the brown paper sack cover off of it and take a look at the full figured version, what's the first thought that races through your mind?
I need to buy this magazine.
Really?
Well, for me personally, I have an affinity for women that are a little bit more full-figured. I think that these full-figured models take that even to the extreme, and I agree with Teagan. Was it Teagues?
Cheryl Teagues.
Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah.
A little bit that
Cheryl
too much...
Cheryl Teagues older than your mom, by the way.
I'm sure she is, yeah. And I agree with her that there is a limit, maybe even 35. She said a waistline of 35. Maybe you might be stepping into an unhealthy zone there, but there is also too skinny. So
yeah. Now, this version of the swimsuit edition with a lovely, I'm sure Ashley Graham is a lovely woman, and I'm sure she looks great for her full-figuredness.
Okay. Yes, she does. I've
seen
her.
But now we're kind of splitting the definition of why Sports Illustrated does this in the first place. All right, now.
So we'll talk about it.
Yeah, well, sure. They get attention. They sell copies and all of that. But the whole idea originally, come on, it was titillation, right?
What's that?
Titillation. Titillation. I said titillation.
Okay, you did.
Right? It's just like the internet. Chicks means clicks.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
And so they wanted to sell a bunch of copies. They're going to show some flesh. And guys love looking at ladies in the bikinis, or very little of them, those bikinis, way they've become now. They're just little strings, right?
Yep.
Threads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sponsored by the American Dental Association.
Yes.
And who recommend that you floss daily. So now what they've done is created another purpose for selling magazines, and that is controversy.
Agreed.
And did they slip Cheryl Teagues a little check and say, hey, Cheryl, why don't you go ahead? I mean, you're Teflon at this stage of your career. Nobody's going to fault you if you come out and said, hey, I think maybe these models are a little too hefty.
Oh, buddy. Now, this is a type of conspiracy theory that I can get on board with, because that makes sense.
Doesn't it?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Let's drum up some controversy. Let's get a retired supermodel to talk about the con side of this subject that we're throwing out there.
Yeah.
Because there's pluses and minuses to all of it. Should we body shame people? Absolutely not. Should we say that it's okay for people to become overweight to a level that it's bad for their health?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And now Ashley on the cover, does her body style appeal to 100% of the guys, and gals for that matter, in this day and age, who were appealed to Hannah and her horse on the cover the last two years?
No.
You are correct. Yes. So that's why I asked, and it turned out you're one of the guys. You're the percentage of guys who are into gals like Ashley's body style.
Well, especially at her age, because there's that age in the early 20s where you can carry some extra weight and it's still going to be visually pleasing in my mind, because the skin hasn't taken the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the skin's still real tight. It's still very flush. But in time, as you age, that becomes more difficult for your body to carry without it having more dramatic effects. That's just the truth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's why. I mean, we should all live in the space station in zero gravity, right?
Does that help with weight control?
Yeah, because the gravity pulls all that stuff down.
And because all you can eat is those MREs.
Exactly.
You know, you don't get much.
No.
You just get like a granola bar and some dried milk.
You don't. All right. Now, somebody else who is hoping that gravity doesn't pull her down is somebody on a meteoric celebrity ride. It's Katy Perry. And Katy makes the most money in music, doesn't she? I think we saw the...
I think so, yeah. She beats Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah. So she knows what she's doing. There's a conspiracy theory out there. You know, we don't spend a lot of time digging through the internet looking for conspiracies, but this one's interesting. You may not have realized this, but apparently there are people who think that JonBenet Ramsey's death was a hoax. You remember who she was? She was a little girl. She was a beauty queen at the age of, what was she?
Young. Five? Below 10 or something.
She was like 6 years old.
I have a vague memory of this.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back in 1996, police found her murdered in the basement of her family home 8 hours after she was reported missing by her family. And the family was initially suspected to be involved in the murder.
That's right, yeah.
Including JonBenet's older brother, Burke, I think his name was. They've all been cleared, and the case is still unsolved.
As far as who did it, right?
Yeah. But the truth is that, yeah, there is a body, and she's dead, and the family does not have a daughter named JonBenet anymore.
Yeah.
But there are people that believe all of that's a hoax, and they believe that JonBenet is, in fact, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yep. You know, we call that the Elvis effect. There's always going to be a certain population that believe Elvis is still alive.
Here's the hard-hitting evidence. One person says they look identical and that their parents look similar, too. And another says their eyebrows are the same, but when you compare photos, they're not as convincing as
they
these don't.
JonBenet Ramsey was a blonde, I thought.
Well, Katie's been
known to change her hair color.
Okay.
Someone else points out that Katie once said, quote, "Not that I was one of those stage kids. There was no JonBenet Ramsey inside of me waiting to burst out."
Right. This is total horse pucky.
Yeah. Here's another quote. "The Illuminati always puts out clues hidden in plain sight."
Oh, yeah? How about the clues of what years they were born?
Yeah.
Are there some clues there?
Yeah. Katie was born in 1984, JonBenet in 1990.
I think that puts that case to rest. But I do want to know what month Katy Perry was born in 1984 to see if our signs are compatible.
Oh.
Because I still think she might be my future bride.
I don't know. Yeah.
Doesn't say.
She's a pretty lady. She's talented and she's funny.
Sure is. She's got all that. Triple threat.
And what's, I think, nice about Katie is that there's just a little bit of awkward in her.
Yes.
You like that?
I like it a lot. Definitely. I'm a fan of that. She doesn't take herself too seriously.
Yeah, because then you don't feel like you have to be perfect around her.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you could be a little bit of a schlub, and she's not going to mind.
You got a little soup on you right there. You know.
Yeah, oh. And then when I point my finger over there and she looks down, I'm going to run my finger up to her nose and say, "Gotcha."
You play the stock market at all?
A little bit.
Wow. What a place. It's just it's a roller coaster ride. It has been all year long and during the end of last year. And we're going to try to make some sense of the stock market for you. Wild times with an expert who's ready to hedge your bets on Wall Street. And he joins us live right here in the, not in the studio, but it'll sound like it. Through wonderful technology. He's been in the studio before. That's why I got confused. Alan Goodstein is his name, and he's here with us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, I don't know if you follow the stock market. It's just been a wild place and hard to understand and difficult for me in many cases to understand how companies are valued the way they are, why a stock, you know, can be $19 in the, you know, 10 years ago and $450 today.
And sometimes it feels like it could be $19 in the morning and, you know, $400 by the afternoon.
Yeah, and it's just weird. And how do you know when to buy and when to sell and what to hold and dividends and all these weird things and then all the other things of people saying, well, you should buy gold as a hedge. Well, where am I going to put my gold?
It's a hard commodity. You put it in a chest and you bury it in the yard.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's where you got to put it.
Joining us now is a guy who is going to make us sound even dumber about this stuff, is the president of Goodstein Wealth Management, LLC, in the Valley of Southern California, Alan Goodstein. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Oh, nice to be here today.
Yeah. I hear you're at your desk there, probably helping make people fortunes this morning. Is that how that works every day for you?
Every day, start around 5:30 in the morning, watching what the business news is.
Yep.
And then I help people climb off their window ledge during the day, stay on track, and keep them from overreacting to this overabundance of news and just extraneous sound that they get all day.
Oh, yeah, and there's tons of it, anywhere from advertising to news. And over the last few months, we've seen huge fluctuations in prices for stocks in just about every sector. Is there one particular thing causing this volatility? Is it crude oil? Is it interest rates, overseas markets, consumer spending? Is there one thing you could put a finger on and say, yeah, pretty much that's the thing that's causing all the volatility?
Well, China started it.
Oh.
China only growing at 6% instead of 7 to 12% started it. So even though they're still growing, we're worried that it's going to affect our economy. Most of it's just worry, not really reality. And then oil went down in relation to that. And then we overreact to that.
Yeah.
They said oil is going to be $10 a barrel. It's right in the mid 30s today. It's going up. So the stock market's going up.
Yeah.
But most of it's an overreaction. My clients that we have bought high quality investments for 10, 15, 20 years that they've been with me, they know that I'll talk them off the cliff and that they'll keep it. And when things are down, maybe we can add a little more, buy it 10, 12% off, get a discount.
Yeah.
To what we're buying, use it to our advantage instead of running away from it, which most people do.
Do you see crude oil making a comeback, or is that industry has that industry seen its finest
days?
It
did this morning. I saw it.
Well,
made
I mean,
a jump.
We were over $100 a barrel for a while. I mean, that's what I mean. Is this industry more or less corrected for the rest of its lifespan?
It's going to go sideways. It'll go back and forth. But I can tell you, there's three things in life that are going to happen: your taxes, you're going to die, and oil is going to go back up. I'm 58. In my lifetime, I've seen it happen two or three times. Oil will go back in the 60s, 80s, 100 again. Probably in the 60s, 80s is more reasonable. And the oil companies are giant. They're always going to make money off of it. We're not going to be 100% solar on our cars or our house. Even if we have all electric cars, those power plants have to be fueled by natural gas or diesel. That's an oil product in each case.
Yeah.
And oil companies are around to stay. India's growing like mad. China's growing like mad. And they're going to use more and more oil.
Yeah.
And as Europe turns around, that'll they'll use more oil.
Sure.
It'll go back up. There's no way around it. Oil companies have us. They know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds to me like it's time to buy in that particular sector. And here's the other thing, though. And help me understand this. Help me understand this, Alan. It's hard for me to understand how markets react, how the market reacts. For instance, Apple last month announced record sales, and the stock took a dramatic fall in that day.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, because it didn't do as much as they wanted it to do. It didn't hit the numbers that some people, wild people on Wall Street, the analysts, want it to do. So they put these giantly high numbers up to meet. When they don't meet those, they punish the stock.
Do you think they do that on purpose, sort of like oversell and underdeliver philosophy?
Right. Now, if most companies are good, they don't overpromise and they overdeliver, which Apple's done for years in reality. Apple has trillions of dollars. They're richer than most governments.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can keep products and keep diversifying their mix, they're going to be around for a long time. But on the other hand, it is a tech company, so you never know who's going to be the next Sony or Magnavox or Emerson Electric going way back, or Edison going way back to the gramophone Edison.
Yeah.
Tech, just by nature, changes very quickly.
Right.
So you're always looking for the next big one. But my clients, I don't allow them to buy anything unless there's a profit behind it.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Alan, let me ask you this. Where's the smart money? And this is the money probably that your clients have. Is it in the market? Is it in gold, real estate, collectibles, something else? Where's the smart money today?
Smart money is not in gold. I can tell you that.
Oh.
That's a reaction play. Gold is the lowest return of all the assets, including your home, over the last 100 years. Smart money is in equity stocks for the long run. Now, saying that, I have a lot of clients, including myself, that also have commercial property. You want to diversify yourself in more than one way. Now, your home is not an investment because you have to live there. In reality, it returns only about 2% a year after all your costs of taxes and upkeep, remodel, and so on.
Yeah.
But a shopping center where you have great rent coming through and it bought it at the right price can make you 6-10% a year, where the average stock portfolio has made you about 8-12% a year.
Right. So now, when you say equity stocks, is this a stock that has a dividend?
No, equities are the name for stocks.
Oh, I got you. All right.
Okay. Now, the best stocks in the long run have been ones that pay dividends, and even Apple and Microsoft are doing that today.
Yeah.
I'm not endorsing those. I'm just saying that they've changed from being pure growth to reinvesting everything to now paying out a dividend.
But there's what do they call them? The dividend titans, you know, like Dow and Aflac and McDonald's and Walmart.
P&G,
you know,
and GE and all the oil companies and Philip Morris.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that in the long run, if their dividend keeps going up and their growth and their profit keeps growing up, those stocks, just because of those two things, the price will go up over time. But it will be a slow slog. Usually you don't even realize it's happening. And those boring portfolios are the ones I love because they also don't go down as much
Yeah.
in a downturn.
And with the time we have left here, we want to ask you about sectors. You mentioned the oil sector, but where do you think the best or the sure bets are? Is it utilities, for instance? I mean, we've got to heat and cool our homes forever, right?
I would say defense.
Oh.
The way the world is right now, the defense conglomerates, and you can buy these individually, you can buy them as a sector, as an ETF. They're going to keep making money. The governments of the world are going to be buying arms. Israel's going to have to keep protecting itself. Then the Saudis are going to have to buy the same thing. Mm-hmm. Then Iran's going to want to buy. Then Iraq's going to want to buy. And then France and Germany are going to want to buy the best thing out there. So the big companies that supply planes, missiles, radar, defense systems, they're going to keep making money no matter what.
Yeah.
And they pay great dividends. So a boring portfolio as maybe 20% of a portfolio, you don't want to be overweighted in any one sector. That, you know, it's a good, boring, good quality, long-term portfolio. That's what we build for clients.
Alan, tell me your website so we could send people there.
GoodsteinWealthManagement.com.
GoodsteinWealthManagement.com. All right. I believe we already have you linked on our links page, but we'll double check on that. And thank you very much for just spending a little time with us and giving us a bit of a lesson. And it sounds good. We're going to diversify our portfolios thanks to you. Alan?
You're welcome.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
So long. Now, 2016 is a leap year. Did you know that? Did you know that Monday is February 29th, Chris?
You know what's funny? I did not know that until you told me today.
Wow. Well, this is a great opportunity for you then to make a difference in your life or somebody else's. Dr. Kyra says it's an excellent day for a do-over, and she joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, February 29th, it's a bonus day. 366 days this year, Chris.
That's rare.
Comes around once every 4 years. Not only is its presence on the calendar rare, but it also represents an opportunity for change. So let's bring in one of our favorite smart people. She just received a Harvard Innovation Award for her design work in applied neuroscience. She's the author of the book, Well-Designed Life, 10 Lessons in Brain Science and Design Thinking for a Mindful, Healthy, and Purposeful Life. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Kyra Bobinette. Hello, Dr. Kyra.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure when you're here. Now, February 29th comes around, 18 to 20 times in an average person's life.
Right.
18 to 20 days in a lifetime of days, and you say one day, one single day, this Monday, we can make a difference, a do-over. How is that possible?
That's right. So, you know, most people think that they failed their New Year's resolutions or that they aren't able to change. But in fact, what's happening is that, you know, the brain is going through a relapse period where, you know, your initial efforts to change created a little sprout of some neurons that were talking to each other. And then the old dominant behavior took over, you know, so that's basically where we are in this time of year. And so I thought that, you know, February 29th is a perfect day to symbolize our ability to iterate. And iteration in, you know, Silicon Valley, where I hail from and where I teach, is all about doing things over, iterating, being able to make multiple versions of something like, you know, the iPhone 4, 5, 6, so that you're never done. You're never quite done with your design of your own behavior.
So then on Monday, I could look into Phil Hewlett 5.0 or 5.1 or whatever it is. Is that, that's what you're saying?
That's right. So Monday, it's a perfect excuse, you know, to give yourself the gift of iteration, to be able to take a mindset of, oh, I didn't fail. This is just normal. This is the brain kind of adjusting. And there's kind of this competition in my brain of the new thing that I want and the old thing that is already there, and take it as an opportunity to start iterating. You know, ask yourself, how can I tweak something? You know, of course, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. This is not that. This is actually doing the same thing slightly tweaked over again to get different results.
That's the definition of science, isn't it?
Right, exactly. And that's the difference. That's the definition of change, too, is something just slightly different each time.
Well, you have to take note of all the pitfalls and challenges and failures in life and improve upon what you've learned based on all of those things. And that's the iteration you're talking about, correct?
Well, and people who succeed are, by definition, iterators. You know, I mean, Stephen Curry, who is really big here in the Bay Area, you know, he iterated on not pivoting with his ankles. He now pivots with his hips and became the best player in the NBA. So there's all kinds. If you really undercut the stories of failure to success, they all have to do with iteration.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned Steph Curry, who else in public life that we would recognize uses iteration to their advantage?
Well, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on where your politics lie, you know, the political races that are going right now, those that are winning are iterating very, very quickly. And those that are kind of losing ground and are not catching up or have not been iterating, but are starting to iterate.
Oh, so they had a plan based on what all of their advisors gave them, and they went with that plan. And at some point they realized,
that
plan was wrong. Yeah,
that's right. It's too slow. The feedback loop of the polls and those kinds of things were, they didn't have the engine of iteration already set up. And so there's something called rapid iteration or rapid versioning in building tech products that has been adopted as a practice by some of these campaigns. I would say the Trump campaign, even Bernie Sanders, that allows them to do these sort of quick iterations on what they're saying and what they're doing and continually hone it. And if that's your discipline, then you're going to outpace somebody who has a very rigid structure.
Well, see, it's interesting in life because we have such a short attention span now that your iteration has to happen, every 5 to 20 minutes, doesn't it?
Right. That's so true.
Well, that's a good question, though, because I love this idea of reiterating your goals and constantly modifying yourself. And you say, hey, you don't have to wait around for New Year's to start new resolutions, or even the few months after New Year's, a couple months after New Year's when leap year hits. How often would you say it is a good idea to sit down and reevaluate your iterations?
Well, again, I'm trying to pull people over to this mindset of iteration. Once that mindset is there, people tend to tinker with it, you know, like a car enthusiast would, you know, tinker with their classic car to constantly make it better or make it more interesting to them, or add a widget here or there. Those are the people that really outpace and succeed over other people who have these rigid ideas of a time span, you know, like a New Year's resolution. I'm going to do this for the entire year, or I'm going to do this for bikini season, or those kinds of things. Those are great interim goals, but if they don't have the mindset of iterating past that point, then they'll relapse, and then they'll unfortunately call it a failure, which really disappoints me the most.
Now, when it comes to moral absolutes and philosophical absolutes and that sort of thing, I mean, a lot of the speakers out there, the big philosophical leaders of our era and other eras for that matter, have had these types of absolutes. Do we iterate those types of thoughts and beliefs as well?
You know, I think that it's flexibility of mindset. You know, that certainly if you say we are going to take this hill, or we are going to accomplish this, you know, policy or that goal if you're in a company, those kinds of things, you definitely have to galvanize everybody's thinking around one simple concept. It's just that if you then either do or do not accomplish that, you have to have an iterative approach of, okay, that didn't work, but that's not the end of failure. You know, that's not a failure. It's, we just recover and our process is to figure it out.
All right. I'm sorry. Give us a couple of steps here. If we're not accustomed to this whole iteration process, how do we iterate into success?
It's really just a mindset of purpose and being able to, you know, think more process oriented instead of outcome oriented. So for example, if my outcome goal is I want to finish college, then once I finish, nobody can take away my degree. But if my process goal is to, or if my outcome goal is to lose 20 pounds, then that's going to go up and down, or it can be reversible. So the idea here is if you lose the 20 pounds and then you start to regain it back, all that signals is that you have to iterate on what got you there, because you're now bored with how you got to the 20 pounds off, and you have to change what's more interesting to you. Maybe you take a Zumba class, maybe you start CrossFit, maybe you, you know, walk more, whatever your little iteration is. You just have to get your own attention and continue to follow a process of tweaking and changing, because your brain is going to change. As you change yourself, your needs and who you are changes, and so you have to constantly iterate on that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Sue, that's definitely a different mindset. Could you latch on to that, Chris?
Absolutely. I feel like I already am to some degree, and I like the idea. What I'm getting from this is sort of speeding up that iteration process, and
that's right. You
can actually do it almost on a daily basis.
Mm. On purpose, exactly.
Yeah, purposefully.
And that's the difference in the mindset, because this happens, but it happens with a lot of suffering in between. You know, let's say that you do lose the 20 pounds, and then you realize, oh, you know, I want to have, you know, I want to join a group that helps me to lose weight. But that might be a loss of several months of feeling badly about yourself and calling it a failure. If you understand iteration, what you do, you know, in my case, when I see something starting to become inconsistent, or myself, you know, being hypocritical with what I say and what I do, that those are signs that I need to iterate immediately, because that whatever I've got in place is not holding my attention anymore.
And your friends who are set in their ways are going to get left in the dust on the side of the road at some point if you keep iterating, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I think, you know, everybody should think on February 29th, what can I do to iterate on what I'm doing, or even adopt the mindset from here forward around iteration, so that I don't have to call things failures anymore. All I need to do is say, oh, that's not working, I have to iterate. That's the signal.
Yeah. Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Well-Designed Life, 10 Lessons in Brain Science and Design Thinking for a Mindful, Healthy, and Purposeful Life. That's the name of the book. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Always mind-opening to speak with you, Dr. Kyra Bobinette. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Wow.
So well-spoken, clear connection.
Yeah.
Understood the message.
Uh-huh.
Well done.
How about that, huh?
Well, good stuff.
Going to have to get new friends, though, aren't you?
Unless they can keep up. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
You might serve as an example.
In our next hour, we're going to do something we've never done before with Manny the Movie Guy. We're going to let him expand in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, thanks to the fact that Oscar Sunday is just a couple days away, and Manny is beside himself and has picked all the winners in every single category. You with me on this one? Let's win the office pool. What do you say? It's coming up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour. Actually, it's more of an event. Manny the Movie Guy's Oscar Picks. Oh, and he reviews this weekend's movies, and a couple of them look really good. Terrorists versus social media titans, the new battleground. 5 compliments men never get tired of hearing. And the hunters might actually now be the hunted. We'll explain. Hi, I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin is here with me. And Chris, get things rolling for this hour with this this whole jihad now against Facebook and Twitter. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, there's multiple names for it. Terrorism, I suppose, is at the top of the list. Sort of a odd and maybe even a little bit morbid story. ISIS has issued a threat to Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and Twitter founder Jack Dorsey over the company's efforts to take down terror-affiliated accounts. So I'll tell you how this manifested. There's a 25-minute video that was released that shows photos of the social network giants with bullet holes across their face.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. And part of the video says, "You announce that you are suspending so many of our accounts, but you're not even in our league. For every account you take down, we'll take 10 in return." So I guess serious threats being made.
Well, they're saying that they could hack into Twitter and Facebook and take other people's accounts down.
I don't know if they're saying they can hack them or if they can just create new accounts. You know, how easy is it to create a Facebook or Twitter account?
No, it's real easy.
And any time that you have a username and password.
But when they say you're not even in our league, okay, now think of the level of technology genius that it takes to operate Twitter and Facebook. And the ISIS guy, you know, sure, maybe it's bravado, but maybe they've got hackers on their side that are of the level, if not higher, than the folks in the tech room over at Facebook and Twitter.
Maybe, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, so do I. But it sounded to me like they said, we're going to take down, all right, so fine, the terror accounts on Twitter, for instance, get taken off. And the next thing you know, Kim Kardashian's Twitter account has been hacked and taken down.
Yeah, I don't think that that's how it's working. I think you'd hear about it more in the news if they were actually hacking into other people's accounts. To me, again, like you said, feels like more bravado, mm-hmm. feels like more, you know, just bluster about how big and bad they really are, but they're not.
But, you know, how often have people been able to hack into accounts and then Twitter recommends you just change your password?
That's it. Just delete the account and move it on.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get rid of that problem. And by the way, going and opening 10 new accounts, who cares if you open 10 new accounts if you only have, you know, 25 followers on those accounts?
Now, up to this point, Chris, what was Twitter and Facebook's policy if they were similar on this sort of thing? I mean, did they passively just stand by and let the terrorists say and whatever they want and recruit people through social media?
Sort of. I mean, I really feel like both those social networking sites had a sort of laissez-faire?
Sure, yeah.
Ideology, which was, hey, it's a free market. Everybody should be able to do what they want. But then obviously after some of the terrorist networking was occurring through their networks, mm-hmm. their hand was forced to have to do something.
Yeah, because it makes them look like they're complicit.
Yeah, like they're helping the cause of the bad guys.
Yeah.
So nothing, I'm going to say nothing to be concerned about, but it is in the news, something to pay attention to, and it is also a lead into another story about social networking.
Yeah, and this is Facebook. The thing that everybody cares about, really. The other thing, that was just an entree to what people think really matters when
yes.
it comes to Facebook.
Can
right?
we get back to first world issues, please?
Yes.
All right, well, Facebook has done it. By popular demand, Facebook is rolling out the new emoji options, which can be chosen over the standard thumbs up, man. All of Facebook's 1.6 billion users will have 5 emoting emojis to choose from on top of the big blue thumb. So yeah. When I say emoting emojis, these emojis, they move. They make faces when you select them.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen these, Phil?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I'm hovering over the like button, and there they are. There's a thumbs up. There's a heart. There's a guy with the greater than and less than symbols for eyes, and I don't know what that is, really.
That he's squinting?
He's squinting and has a big smile, not a toothy smile, but a tonguey smile.
That's ha-ha. Let me tell you what they are. There's love, ha-ha, wow, sad, and angry.
Yeah,
These help enhance the expression of your reactions on Facebook.
But the wow looks more like shock and surprise.
Yes. Right. Yes, I agree with you.
So if somebody says, hey, you know, I just passed my driver's license test on the 12th try, and then, you know, I want to congratulate them. So now I have to actually type out congratulations. You finally did it. I wouldn't use the shock and surprise to guy because that might come across as an insult.
No, but would you use happy guy or heart?
Well, the happy guy to me, I don't know what his deal is. I'm looking at him and I don't get it.
It's like he's on something, huh? He's a little too happy.
He doesn't even look happy to me.
No?
No.
Because his eyes are squinting.
So here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to come out and say, hey, that's offensive to Asians.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with this, and that's certainly a possibility in this PC world we live in.
Right, that happened to Apple when they had their various pseudo-ethnic emojis.
Yeah, I remember that. Different skin color emojis. That was a bad move, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, not a good idea.
What do you mean yellow? Right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to say that Facebook put in years of research before making this decision, and they have decided that these five extra emojis are the most universally accepted emojis available.
I would never use the angry one because those are the posts that I just choose not to say anything because I don't want to come across as angry in social media.
But you're part of a group in that understanding, but you know what? There's a bunch of people that do want to be angry. They want to express their anger. That's where the negative side of these new emojis is going to come up, because that angry emoji is going to be tallied with the rest of them. And when people post stuff just to elicit angry behavior out of people, they're going to get it. You're going to see some posts that are going to have angry app numbers through the roof.
And so now when somebody posts about their dog in the hospital, I guess I could use the sad emoji.
Yeah. Or if somebody posts about a lost loved one.
Now, what happens if you accidentally mean to hit the sad, but you hit the shock?
That's when you pull it or edit it. Can't you edit your posts?
I don't know. Let's see. I'm gonna hit one right now.
While you're doing that, I want to let everybody know that as of right now, love is the most popular emoji selected so far, because love conquers all.
Yeah. All right, so I just put that on there. I hit the wow on this one, and I clicked on the wow again, and it gave me this little pop-up deal. I don't get it. I don't think I can take it away. Once you say it, you're done.
So be careful which emojis you select.
Yeah.
Make sure you hover over the right face, the right emoting face.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, well, I'll have to deal with it now.
I guess so. Well, it's a big day today. You know why it's a big day?
No, but I want to know.
Because nobody can drive in Hollywood right now. All the streets are closed.
You're joking, right?
I am not joking.
They do that for the Oscars?
You get anywhere near where the Oscars are being held, and the streets are closed.
No kidding.
They don't even let you ride your bike on those streets or on the sidewalks to get to the businesses or the streets that lead into the homes in those areas. And if you know the Hollywood area, in some cases, there's only one road to get to your house. And so I don't know what these people up in the Hollywood Hills do when the Oscars come around.
Maybe they have to take those annoying Hollywood trams.
Oh, they have those?
Travel around and show people of the stars.
I don't think those are allowed either.
Really? Yeah. Nobody, huh? Well, I mean, just bike or walk.
So the point is that it's Oscar weekend.
Yeah.
And that means that we have, for you, something special, an extra large segment with Manny the Movie Guy. And he joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, folks, we're back, and it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Plus, it's time to handicap the contenders for Oscar at this weekend's Academy Awards presentation. Members of Oscar's accounting firm say they won't talk to anyone this week, as is usually the case, but our next guest has already had toast, eggs, and a hot cup of Joe with Price, Waterhouse, and Cooper this morning. The award goes to KMAR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. We went to McDonald's, actually.
And did they give you the goods? Did they open up any of the envelopes and let you see the winners?
They gave me the crystal ball, actually.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Now, this is an extra-large edition of our movie segment because there's a little something going on Sunday, some shindig in Hollywood. You've heard of it, right?
Right. My personal Super Bowl.
Yeah. Good. So we're going to get into your picks for Oscar in just a bit. But we have new movies coming out this weekend, and they look fun to me. Hopefully they're as good as they are portrayed in their trailers. What do you say we start with Gods of Egypt? Now, that looks epic.
Epic, and Gerard Butler is back wearing thick eyeliner.
Ooh.
So what's wrong with that, right? But he's the god Set, the evil god of darkness, who wants to rule Egypt. It's now up to a mere mortal named Beck, not the singer, to save the world. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
None of the actors, all the white actors, actually.
Oh, that's the theme this year in Hollywood, isn't it?
That's right. Not even Oscar winner Geoffrey Rush can save the film. This Clash of the Titans wannabe is terribly mishandled by director Alex Proyas, the guy who gave us I, Robot, among others. This is campy, terribly, terribly campy. It's so bad you won't even laugh or giggle. These actors play it straight that you would wish the true gods of Egypt would descend and slap them all silly. It's also $140 million debacle, and it's truly worth your gold.
Does the Kraken make a cameo in this one?
No, I wish. I want the Kraken to, like, take them all.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that, Manny, because when I first saw the trailer for that movie, I didn't even know what I was looking at. It looked so bad, even in the trailer, to me, although some better trailers have come out. And then I heard a report this morning saying that critics are really just panning it.
Well, you're right. The last trailer was actually sort of interesting, but I mean,
yeah, the newer one.
They picked the best ones to put on the trailer for their marketing style, but it looks like an over. The effects at the final one, it looks like an overbloated CGI spectacle.
Ah, that's too bad. Now, the movie that looks fun and, you know, bring the whole family to this one is Eddie the Eagle. Am I right? Or did they screw the pooch on this one, too?
I enjoy this film. It's based on a true story, of course. It's a feel-good and charming film, even though it's predictable and full of sports cliches. But it's a real story, right? So, I guess life is full of cliches.
Yeah.
Michael Eddie Edwards is played by Taron Egerton. You know him from the Kingsman movie, Kingsman: The Secret Service. He is our Michael Eddie Edwards. He's a British ski jumper. He's an underdog with a lot of zest, but no one believes in him except for the charming coach played by Hugh Jackman. And you know where this is going? At the 1988 Calgary Winter Olympics, he took the world by storm by making an unbelievable jump. He flew like an eagle. Now, what I like best about this movie is its levity. It's funny, and it will make you laugh out loud all the way to the Olympics.
And does it give you, I don't know, a kind of reference pain when you watch the guy fall and hurt himself over and over again?
Well, yes. Like any old sports movie, you feel the pain, you feel the passion, you feel the victory.
Oh, good for the agony of defeat.
There you go.
All right, so now Chris was telling me before we did the show here that he is really enthused about what he's seen and read about Triple Nine, and it just looks like an insane movie.
It is truly, truly insane. You know, I sat down with the director, with the cast, but when I talked to the director, John Hillcoat, you know him, he gave us The Road, a fantastic film, The Proposition, another fantastic film. But I told him, you know, trying to reinvigorate the crime thriller must be his passion for this film, and he said yes. And he said that he was inspired by Heat. Among others. And Apocalypse, by the way. I don't know why Apocalypse will be there, but yeah, he loved the film. But this one is a gritty, thrilling, and incredibly dark film, and it's, again, it's from director Hillcoat. And like those movies that I mentioned, The Road and the Proposition, this is visually palpable with a star-studded cast that includes Kate Winslet, Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck, The Walking Dead's Norman Reedus, Breaking Bad's Aaron Paul, Oscar nominee Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Anthony Mackie. Everyone's in this film. It's set in Atlanta. The city's turned into a balletic visuals of guns, blood, corrupt cops, criminals, and the Russian mob. I enjoy the film, even though it has some B-movie elements in it. You still can't predict the outcome, though. And I totally recommend this film. I had a great time too interviewing the cast. I had a great time interviewing Casey Affleck. He was funny. If you guys hadn't seen it yet, go to mannythemovieguy.com and watch it. He told me, you should be in the movie. And I said, what role should I play? And he said, oh, I don't know, Anthony Mackie maybe. I'm like, nope, I'm only going to be in it if I can be Kate Winslet.
Did you get Kate Winslet in your interviews there?
Or Gal Gadot, the new Wonder Woman is actually in the movie as well.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. Oh, by the way, you mentioned it. I thought Jerry Seinfeld was great in B-movie.
Right. Not quite the B, B-E-E, but it's a B as in not quite an A.
All right. So do you think it'll take number one, Manny, 999, this week?
I don't think so. I think it's too dark. And plus, it's rated R.
Oh.
You know, I think it's still going to be Deadpool. It'll be a repeat of last week, I bet you.
Yeah. Okay. Deadpool. So, the Oscars, is it the 81st Oscars? Is that right?
88. But listen, there's another movie that you forgot. There's a movie called Remember the little gem called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, now it's back without the great director Ang Lee. And unfortunately, I mean, I love the first film. I wanted to see this movie, but it wasn't shown in advance to critics. But lo and behold, when I looked at my Netflix this morning, it's already now out on Netflix. So I will watch it later.
Yeah.
I'm just it's kind of suspicious why it wasn't.
And is it worthy just for the kung fu? Because we like looking at the martial arts. Is it worthy just for that?
I'm sure. If it's a repeat of the first, then yes, it's definitely a must-see. But I don't know about this story.
Yeah. All right.
It's Crouching Movie, Hidden Critics.
As long as people fly through the air and battle while they're in flight, that's what I liked best about it.
Well, here, all we know is that there is a legendary sword, a la Excalibur, and, you know, they're all looking for that sword.
Gotcha. All right.
There you go.
That story's been played a few times.
Yeah, thank
you. So, Manny, what is this, the 88th Oscars?
The 88th Academy Awards, that's right.
Now, do we call it the Academy Awards or do we call it the Oscars? The Oscars are the trophy, right?
Let's call it the Academy, so we feel like we're with the Academy. No, it's really Oscars.
Are you even going this year?
I'm not going this year. You know what? I told you earlier, it's my Super Bowl. So ask any bros in watching Super Bowl. I'd rather stay home, watch the Oscars from my house, and blog the crap out of it.
You got that right.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of controversy this year, and Al Sharpton's going to be outside down the street as close as he can get, and he's going to hold a little rally. And there's concern that there's not enough diversity in the Academy. And thus, all the nominees this year are not persons of color. And so that's a concern. And then the host of the show is who? Remind us again?
Chris Rock.
Now, Chris, of course, has a script that he's going to go by, but it's a live event. What do you think is going to happen once he's out there and he says, hi, guys?
Yeah, I cannot wait to see what he says live. I'm sure they're going to tip a hat on that Oscars So White controversy.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, you know what, though, honestly, and I echo Viola Davis with this, you know, make a great film, you know, but that's what it is. I mean, that's what it's all about great movies. I'm sure.
And Beast with No Nation is barely represented, right?
I enjoy that film, but the only problem is Idris Elba was not nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which is a good thing because Sylvester Stallone has a chance.
Now, every year, Manny, you put out your picks for Oscar. You did okay. You did okay on the Emmys, right? Not the Emmys.
Golden Globes.
Golden Globes.
Oh, yes.
But only because you're not great with the TV picks that brought you down overall, but you nailed it more or less on the movie side.
Yes, yes.
But how was your record last year with Oscar? You did, about 70%?
I'm pretty good with Oscars. I mean, you know, normally I get like between 18 to 20. I haven't gotten the full 24 yet, but I've been like between 18 to 22. So yeah.
Now, if you're in an office pool and you want to know which selections to pick to win the pool, you're going to want to hear what Manny has to say and what he's picked. And we're going to go through, what do you say we go through all of them?
Oh, my gosh. Sure. Go for it.
All right. And let's start with some of them now. We'll start at the bottom of the list. Just give me one that, if you get the hard ones at the end of the list, the less significant ones, then that's how you're going to win your pool. So in 30 seconds, tell me who's in the best documentary short subject and who's going to win it.
Okay, in best documentary subject, the nominees are Body Team 12, Chow, Beyond the Lines, Claude Lanzmann, A Girl in the River, and Last Day of Freedom. And the winner, I think, will win and should win, voting from my heart and my mind, it will be Body Team 12.
Okay.
That's the one that's getting all the buzz, and it's a fantastic.
We've marked that one off. All right, so there's one win for us there.
It's about an Ebola outbreak, and the Academy loves all that drama.
We have an extra-large segment, so that means I'd like for you, Manny, to stick with us through our quick break here. The big categories, including Best Actor, Actress, Best Picture. We'll hit all of those when Manny the Movie Guy helps you win your office pool right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next! We're talking Academy Awards with Manny the Movie Guy, and we're going through his list, and so far we've knocked off one, and we're going to, what was the category? I already forgot.
Best Documentary Short.
Okay, so now we have Best Short Film, Best Short Film Animated, and these are my favorites. I wish every movie had a little animated short right before it.
Best Short Film Animated, I think... Sanjay's Super Team will win. If you saw The Good Dinosaur in theaters last year, this was before it was shown before that film, and I love the short movie. But you know, my heart tells me World of Tomorrow may get it because of its creativity. It's all stick figures in a diorama style, but it was so inventive and so thought provoking that I will be happy either or.
All right. But you're going with Sanjay's Super Team.
Yeah, Sanjay's Super Team.
All right, next category is Best Short Film Live Action.
I think Ave Maria will win. Story of a nun in a convent in the middle of the West Bank wilderness, and the Israeli settlers crashed their car into the convent's walls. Very timely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will win, Ave Maria, although I love the romantic movie Stutterer.
Now, okay, good. Now, there are a bunch of these technical categories that we kind of gloss over them, but if we want to win the office pool, we have to be nails on these, and that's why we have you here today, Manny. So best sound mixing.
Best sound mixing will win Mad Max Fury Road, but Star Wars The Force Awakens comes in really, really close.
Ooh, okay. So a Mad Max Fury Road wins best sound mixing. Well, it's also nominated for best sound editing.
And it will win and should win for best sound editing.
No kidding. All right, so how about best production design?
Mad Max Fury Road will win, should
win.
Wow,
really? That's three.
Well, look at the nominees. Bridge of Spies, The Danish Girl, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant. I mean, think of the production design that Mad Max Fury Road, it's more involved.
Yeah, they were just a big empty desert for The Martian, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I saw the movie again. I rewatched it I saw that two times last year, but I just rewatched it, and it's visually splendid. I cannot say, I mean, I love that movie.
Oh, which one, Mad Max or The Martian?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it was a great movie. I enjoyed it.
All right, so it's also nominated for Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
And it will also win for Best Makeup and Hairstyling. You look, you know, there's The Revenant, and really the only makeup there is, well, Leonardo DiCaprio and probably Tom Hardy, you know. But and the obscure, the 100-year-old man who climbed out of the window and disappeared. It's a Slovenian movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it'll be Mad Max Fury Road for best.
Well, you don't think all the claw marks from the bear on Leonardo's body in The Revenant.
Right.
That's some good makeup.
Real marks, you know. Leonardo DiCaprio went through so many emotional and physical pain with this film.
Yeah, he had to get mauled by a bear. That's method acting. All right, so then we have best costume design. And
hands down, I think Cinderella will win.
Oh.
just because look at all those avant-garde, fabulous costumes. But once again, Mad Max Fury Road should win this award.
Do they make those after the movie's done? Do they auction those off? Let's say a guy like you'd want to...
For charity, mostly.
Yeah, so like, let's say you wanted Cinderella's gown, you know, from the ball.
Which I do.
Yes, of course, I know you do. You could plunk down some money for that, and it would go to charity, but you'd get the ball gown.
A lot of money. It was probably going to be about $30,000.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
All right, best cinematography.
Best cinematography. I'm thinking it's The Revenant. It was visually, like what I said about The Revenant before, it's well-acted, well-directed, well-shot. It's just the story is just hollow for me, and I think Mad Max Fury Road should win this category, but I think it's going to be The Revenant. And
yeah.
Noel Lubezki will have a second time. He won for Birdman last year. He'll win again this year.
I like how you'd put it. You say will win and should win, and you have the two films.
Because
and so.
Honestly, this is one of the most unpredictable Oscars yet. It's all tossed up in the air. One film won the SAG Awards. One film won Producers Guild Award. The other one, Directors Guild. It's not. There's no clear-cut winner.
Yeah. All right. So you're riding the fence a little bit, but the will win. That's the one we recommend for your office pool. Okay.
Correct.
Best visual effects.
Best visual effects. It's going to be Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Really? Not Ex Machina.
Although I want Ex Machina to win, I think it'll be... Well, just look at all the CGI that they've used for Star Wars versus the CGI they've used for Ex Machina.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, just everything seemed so real in Ex Machina, and it looks kind of fake in Star Wars.
Yeah, it was awesome, but you only have the one machine in Ex Machina, and yet in Star Wars, pretty much everything is CGI.
Yeah.
Right. So all the hours involved, you know, it's the Academy, it's the Guild.
Yeah.
So all the, people involved with this, that's what they're going to give it.
All right, let's talk music. Best original score.
Best original score, hands down. I love the score for this. It, really, the best thing about the movie, it's Ennio Morricone's The Hateful Eight.
Oh.
He will be winning.
Okay. And then the other best... music thing is best song.
Gosh, listen, I am not a Lady Gaga fan, but she will win this category.
What did she sing? For what movie?
Hunting Ground. It's for the movie The Hunting Ground.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys are following the controversy, but Linda Perry from Four Non Blondes, who is also an accomplished songwriter herself, had said that Lady Gaga did not write the song, yet she's getting a credit for it, even though she probably wrote one line.
Did she won the Golden Globe for this?
She, yes. No. The Golden Globe, the one that's not nominated this year. My favorite song, actually. I wish it was nominated. Furious 7, When I See You Again.
Oh.
Or If I See You
Again. Charlie Puth.
Yeah.
Charlie Puth, exactly.
All right, gotcha. All right. Now, this is probably the most important job outside of the acting in a movie. It's best film editing. People don't realize this, but the editing makes the movie. Isn't that right, Manny?
Yes, you're very right. They can make or break you by the way you're edited. And so the best film editing, I think, will be Mad Max Fury Road, although The Big Short is very, very close.
You know, for all the people that haven't yet seen Mad Max Fury Road, if it goes ahead and wins all these categories that you say it's going to win, then they're going to re-release it and say winner of 7 Academy Awards.
Right.
And we're going to say, what? I mean, it almost makes it sound like it was Best Picture.
You're right. Exactly. They do that.
Yeah.
Very good. You're paying attention to their marketing.
No, I know a thing or two about these things.
It's a visual spectacle, that movie.
Yeah. Right.
Best animated feature.
I still love this movie, Inside Out.
And I have it at home. We're about to watch it. We haven't seen it yet, but
you'll enjoy it.
It's one of those rare animated films that's actually very smart and brilliant. I mean, anybody who can make a movie about the mind of a little girl is just amazing.
All right. Best documentary feature.
Okay, will win, I think, is Amy. It's a fantastic film, but I really want The Look of Silence to win.
All right.
It's about the 1960s Indonesian genocide, and it's also kind of dramatic. An optician confronts the man who killed a brother that he never knew.
An eye doctor?
An eye doctor.
Oh.
Hence the title, The Look of Silence.
Gotcha. All right. Best foreign film.
Hands down, it'll be The Son of Seoul.
That's what I thought.
The Francis Mustang is very, very, comes really, really close, but Son of Seoul is what I want to win.
Okay, getting into the biggies now. Best adapted screenplay.
Best Adapted Screenplay, it'll be The Big Short. This one won the Writers Guild Award, and that's a great sign, mm-hmm. in the same category.
All right. Best Original Screenplay.
I think it'll be Spotlight. Spotlight also won the Writers Guild Award. As much as I love Spotlight, I thought Inside Out was much well-written, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll still be Spotlight.
Yeah, I liked Spotlight a lot.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress.
Hands down, Alicia Vikander, the current It girl of the moment.
Oh, yeah.
She will win this for The Danish Girl.
She played a great robot, and she plays whatever
right?
she plays in The Danish
Girl. It'll be the body of work.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, I've been talking about him forever, since October, since I saw the film, and I think it'll be Sylvester Stallone.
You do? All right. Well, you know, let's see if Hollywood is as romantic
well,
about this as you are.
SAG Award, I told you earlier, Idris Elba was not nominated this year for the Oscars, but he won for the SAG Award for the same category. So I think this just kind of opens up for Stallone to win.
All right.
And it's just kind of cool for him to win for a role that he originated 40 years ago.
Yes, of course. It is. It's romantic every way you look at it.
Yes, best underdog.
Best actress.
Rocky.
Best actress.
Oh, hands down again, Brie Larson.
For The Room.
And you got yeah, For Room. And if you guys haven't seen the film yet, please do watch it. It's a great film.
It's on our list. We're trying to see all the ones that are nominated for Best Movie.
You have 2 days.
Yeah, I know. It's marathon time.
Binge watching.
All right.
The Hewlett household.
Best actor.
Well, you know, my heart says Matt Damon should win for The Martian, but it's going to be Leonardo DiCaprio. He's Susan Lucci no more.
Yeah. You know, Matt Damon in The Martian did, in my opinion, a better job than, what's her name, floating around in space a couple of years ago.
Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
Bullock. Yeah.
Oh, I love that, too. I love Sandra Bullock. I was rooting for her to win, but it went to Cate Blanchett for The Blue Jasmine. This time, Matt Damon, it's also hard to do. I mean, he's acting alone by himself.
Yeah.
But I, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, like what I said earlier, the Academy loves suffering and pain, and 20th Century Fox famously used that to sell DiCaprio's acting. You know, he ate liver. He went inside a horse's carcass.
That was an awesome scene right there.
Right.
When I saw that,
bizarre.
I leaned over to my wife and said, "Honey, I'd like to try that someday."
Yeah. Like Harrison Ford going inside the Tauntaun, right?
No, it's not.
It wasn't too original.
Nothing like that. All right, two more to go. Oh, my gosh, please, do we have to listen to one of these guys drone on for 100 hours? Best director.
Yes, it will be Alejandro González Iñárritu.
Well, I like him. He's
The Revenant.
When he gives a speech, it's not too long, and he's endearing.
He's smart. He's brilliant.
Yeah, The Revenant.
And you know what? And he already made Directors Guild Award history. He's the only director to win the trophy back-to-back. Last year he won for Birdman. This year he won for The Revenant. So he may make Oscar history again for doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? Honestly, who I really want to win is, of course, George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road. It's just time. It's time. This guy who's been making movies for decades just received his first Oscar nomination, plus anybody who can make flawlessly make a talking pig movie in Babe, then, you know, Mad Max Fury Road, and do them all flawlessly is just a god in my book.
And the best picture winner is...
Oh, my God. It's a toss-up. It will be... Look, like what I said earlier, Spotlight won for SAG Award. The Producers Guild Award gave it to The Big Short, which, by the way, The Big Short for the last 15 years has been in tandem with the Oscars. So The Big Short has a great chance. But I think it will be The Revenant, just because it's an audience pleaser. It made money at the box office, and, you know, the Academy loves that.
How about that? All right. Now, if you were not taking notes, you need only go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com. The entire list is there, and you can follow along and see how Manny does. And we're going to keep track, Manny, and so when I talk to you next week...
Nervous. You know what? Yeah, and if you guys want to follow me, I'll be blogging like crazy. I'm on Twitter, Manny Movies, or Facebook, Manny the Movie Guy.
Right. Very good. We're always following.
You will see the progression of as I get drunker and drunker in the evening. It just becomes energy at the end.
Good luck. I hope you get more than 18 this year.
I know. I hope so.
And what's your drink of choice? What's your poison, sir?
Vodka tonic with lots and lots of lemon.
So you pucker up more, right? Is that what it is?
Thank you.
All right.
I do.
Manny, talk to you next week. Good luck with the Oscars this weekend.
Oscar weekend, everyone.
Thanks, Manny.
Believe I said that. All right. So up next here on the program, the hunters become the hunted and the five compliments men never get tired of hearing. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, our final segment on this here edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. And Chris, last year there was all kinds of uproar about this dentist who went out on a safari and, well, is that what they call it when you bring your guns? And he had hoped to bag himself a nice lion and ended up...
And he did.
He bagged the absolute wrong lion.
Yeah, he bagged Cecil the Lion. I don't know if you guys remember the story about Cecil the Lion, but it has to do with a dentist who went big game hunting over in Zimbabwe, and some would say he lured, or his guides lured, Cecil the Lion off a reserve in the area, and then...
And Cecil's an iconic lion, and has been used for wildlife preservation, as opposed to the opposite.
Right. And since that story hit the airwaves in many cases, there's been a bizarre twist as a consequence. All right, so after all this criticism of Cecil's death, there was obviously a major effect on all of the big game hunting industry, and especially over in that area. And hunting expeditions plummeted very shortly after Cecil's story went viral. Now, apparently what's happening is... animal populations in these areas, especially big game animal populations, are exploding. And there are more lions, even in such a short period of time of only a year ago, than there have been in a very long time. And environments in these areas for civilians and guides has become dangerous, even for some of the people that live in the area.
Wow.
And that go on expeditions in those areas. So it's one of those weird things where, when I'm reading about the stories, I almost have that internal conflict where you go, well, hey, you know, obviously I don't think we should be shooting these beautiful wild animals, but at the same time, is population control required? And if so, how? And, it's just one of those things
with. People always say, who was there first?
Yeah, exactly. That's my heart lies with the fact of you leave them alone and leave them alone in their natural environment. But at the same time,
they're not going to leave you alone.
And we're growing. And what are we supposed to not build new homes or new communities or, expand our own?
Stalking your village and eating your young.
That's a possibility. Well, what they're talking about now, some of the local advocates are working to relocate as many as 500 lions from what is now considered to be an overpopulated refugee. It's called the Cecil effect, by the way.
The Cecil effect.
It's what they've now named it.
There are probably some rich guys in Abu Dhabi who will say, I'll buy some lions.
Yeah, or the opportunity to shoot them. That was the big thing, is that hunters would have that opportunity. You go out there, you go shoot a big game animal, and you get criticized.
People who want
media.
These big animals, really rich people who want these big animals as pets on their expansive properties.
Oh, like that.
Yes.
Yeah, then you got to get, I think there's licensing and all kinds of things.
Not training. If you're in Abu Dhabi. You just pay everybody off.
Good point.
Here's a couple $1 million. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Five compliments men never get tired of hearing. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Have you been working out?
Yeah. My grandma used to always tell me, too. She'd say, are you getting taller? She knows exactly what to tell me.
Yeah, you grew a mustache.
Yeah, she goes, you're getting taller.
I told my friends how lucky I am to have you.
That's sweet.
You have friends?
No, right?
I love how determined you are when you set your mind to do something.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
is it?
We'll take that one as guys.
I feel safe with you.
Yeah, another good one.
Come here, let me hold you, right? Is
That's
that what you
right.
say? Yeah. You look sexy when you cook.
Okay.
Those are the five compliments. I was thinking a nice package might be on there.
Sure. Can't believe how big it is. I can't believe that one didn't make the list.
No, me neither. We were talking Oscars. Can you believe these 10 surprising stars who've never won Oscar?
All right. Give them to us.
Robert Downey Jr.
Surprise.
Will Smith.
Surprise.
Ridley Scott, who if he does win, he'll talk forever.
It's one huge name after another.
Alan Rickman. Gary Oldman. Marilyn Monroe. Was never nominated. Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson, Mia Farrow, Harrison Ford.
Wow.
You know, these people have all been nominated.
Yeah.
Never won anything.
Not names you would expect, for sure.
This guy was nominated for Best Actor in two movies, East of Eden and Giant. Can you name him?
East of Eden and Giant?
Yeah.
Mike's trying to mouth it to me. I was going to cheat.
All right, youngster, you need to go see those movies. They are both excellent. James Dean.
Oh, okay, yeah, James Dean. I know that name.
Yeah.
Makes great sausage, that guy. Really, really good. my favorite breakfast.
Can we just end the show now?
Honestly.
No. All right, wait, real quick, just a couple of things that we didn't get to today. Arby's is offering a vegetarian menu on Leap Day, Monday, including a toasted bun with nothing on it.
Mm.
Cops are hunting for a bald guy who keeps shoplifting Rogaine.
That's classic.
A clearly entitled woman shoplifted $500 worth of groceries because she didn't want to wait in line.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. A guy assaulted someone with bacon and eggs. No, really, he did. And he did such a good job of it, he sent the person to the hospital. Let's see, an idiot got beaten with a pipe by his intended victim and then got run over by his accomplice.
Yeah, stupid criminals.
And speaking of stupid, there's a new trend on social media. Posting photos of your view from the toilet.
Oh, that's disgusting. Why would anybody do that? Or want to look at that?
I don't know, but I'm checking now.
Is this just a picture of your knees and then the trash can in front of you?
Apparently so.
The light switch on the wall?
We're on Twitter, @FAFShow. We're on Facebook as well. Like us, love us, follow us. And we love your comments. Go to the website, click on the tab on the right where you can leave us a voicemail. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who, has anybody seen him lately? No, you haven't? Okay. For Chris and all the friends, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.